Welcome to Dad Life with Foz. My name's Luke Forrest, aka Foz. Alongside my beautiful partner Emily, I'm about to become a new dad, and I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. So instead of doing the research privately, I thought I'd invite some of my mates along who've done this all before. And hopefully, along the way, I'm going to work out what the hell I'm doing when this baby is born. And here we are. We're back. Episode 9 of the Dad Life Podcast. I'm Luke Forrest. As always, we're here at Royal Stacks. Byron Cook, our producer's in the studio.
I'm not counting. There's one more to go. I'm not counting, though. It's been a great, great series. It's just that I've eaten that many burgers. We need this series to wrap up.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, we'll introduce our next guest. He is a mate of mine, Jade Mitchell. He's one of the toughest boxers I know. He's held the WBC, WBA, IBF and IBO regional championships. All at one time, I believe.
All at one time.
And you were sitting at number 8 before COVID hit.
8 in the world. Jeez. We were on the verge of big things, and then good old COVID pulled the rug out from underneath us.
Oh, no. And I've known you for a while. I've seen you at your best, and I've seen you having a lot of surgeries.
Yeah.
Where are you at with your career at the moment?
Look, mate, I was actually supposed to be making my return April 6th up at Sydney's Horden Pavilion, which would have been awesome. It's an iconic boxing venue. I was there for the presser not long ago, but so COVID hit and it took my world rating and took my activity away, and then COVID hit me again.
It's literally hit me.
And it wasn't so much that I was worried about the COVID, it's the after effects. I'm actually struggling big time. It's like I've got chronic fatigue or something. Like every time I exert myself at all, I just don't recover. So, blood work and stuff done tomorrow. We're going to get to the bottom of it, and hopefully we're only pushed back a month or so.
That's it. Hopefully you get over it. Now, talk about you. I want you to talk to me about you getting into boxing. Now, you had a massive weight loss, didn't you?
Another massive weight loss of 23 kilos since January now.
There you go.
Wow. There's a giant fat man inside it. It's actually a bad place that I've just called the fight up when we're here at Royal Stacks. Like, I should not be here. Like,
double stack him up.
Couldn't you have done it at a salad bar or something? This joint's awesome.
So hang on, but wow. So you've lost 23 kilos since January.
It's kind of my thing. If you haven't followed me, the weight fluctuates a bit. There's a giant fat man inside of me just dying to get out.
And do you reckon you'll how long do you want to box for? Do you reckon?
Look, I've got 2 years with the new promotional company, No Limit.
Yep.
Which they've got fighters you may know, Tim Zhu and Paul Gallen, the biggest promotional company in Australia. So they've come after me, which is cool. I've got 2 years, 2 years with them. So the end of 2023, if I'm getting knocked around or if I'm not making money out of fighting, I'm gone. Cause there's more to this podcast is about being a dad. There's more to life than just fighting.
That's it. Now bigger things is what we want to talk about. You being a dad. Now you and your beautiful partner, Tegan, brought in little Drew about 3 years ago into the world.
She's 3 years old now. Yep.
I've done my research.
Yeah.
When did you and Tegs decide you wanted kids? Was it easy for you guys to fall pregnant?
It actually was. It was.
Well, not you guys taking to fall pregnant. You just helped out.
It actually was. As soon as we made our mind up to do it, the first time we tried, luckily enough, because we'd left it a little bit later in life. We actually fell pregnant once before when we were a little bit younger and we lost it, which was like it happens to so many people, but that sucks. So that really hurt.
It does.
And then this time around when we had Drew, when Tegan fell pregnant with our daughter Drew, it was amazing. I think being that little bit older as well.
How old are you now?
I'm 33 now.
33, yeah.
I was 33 when I had Drew. Sorry. I just got to say, too, I'm not punchy for anyone listening to this. Cognitively, I'm not up to scratch after COVID.
Like, yes.
Everything's, I'm on struggle street. So please don't think Foz has got this punchy idiot on the podcast.
He is a great man.
I'm 36 now, but I was 33 when Tegan fell pregnant.
Still young. I'm 36.
Are you?
Yeah.
Jesus, you look like shit. No, sorry, boss. Sorry, I had to.
Before he has a kid. Look at him.
There you go. He still has some wit. Now, I'm going to have my kid in about 7 weeks, roughly. Yep. Roughly. What should I be doing at the moment to help him out, do you reckon? What did you do leading up to the birth?
Tegan would tell you probably not much, and she's probably right. Look, Tegan. If I'm being honest, Drew's the whole situation with Drew, because we lost the first one. And then when we having Drew, it was actually a really shitty experience because we had some issues with our first scan and that. There was a few issues, and then our next scan, there was fluid on the back of Drew's neck, okay. And they were pointing to that she may have Down syndrome or something like okay. That. So the entire time, they're telling us like, oh look, now's the time if you want to get rid of
abort. Yeah,
so the entire time, but it was actually. I'm just going to be the biggest bummer for you.
But the
thing is like, I know better now, like for next time, like don't let anyone get you down or feel bad. Cause they're just covering all bases. And look, they've said to us like, oh look, now's the time. Then the next time we go back, there's fluid around her organs and stuff. And oh look, there's definitely something wrong here. Like it was just so negative the whole time. So, and Tegan also, she had gestational diabetes, which is a form of diabetes you get when you're pregnant.
Yes.
So, and just there was extra monitoring. There's extra, just so many other little things we had to do. And the entire time, we're just having our asses kicked by them saying like, "Oh, look, your baby's not right."
And this is what some people don't understand because me and Em lost two before before she fell pregnant with this one.
Yep.
And it's the same thing. I feel your pain a lot. Some of the times you're just stressing the first sort of 3-4 months about is it going to make it, is it not going to make it, which is a little bit different to you. But, yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
But when you're that little bit older as well, having kids, you're just like, fuck, have I left my run too late? Is this me? Is the problem is because we've left too late sort of thing. So that all that stuff plays on your mind big time. And so I'll just fast forward a bit. So that was actually really, it wasn't as enjoyable. So this time around, next time around, it will be enjoyable. And, look, so right up until we had Drew, so it was still the same thing. It was an emergency C-section.
Okay.
Because, like I said, with the gestational diabetes, Drew was a couple of weeks prem.
Yep.
Now, my wife is so cruisy, doesn't whinge at all. The morning that her water broke, she's taps me on the shoulder, her water's broke. She's calm as. She's like, oh, they've said we've got to go up. I'm like, okay. So it's like probably 5 a.m. And she was that calm, it's not funny. And I'm training for fights and stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get any food in or anything. Is it cool if we pull over on the way up and I just grab a protein bar and a shake?
Yeah.
You want a coffee? She's like, no, I don't want a coffee, you fucking idiot. Like,
is this while she's going to the hospital?
Yeah, this is while we're going to the hospital. She's so crazy. So it was just so crazy. And then when we had Drew, because like I said, emergency C-section, she was breech. The entire time we're like, fuck, what's wrong with her? What, like, that's, when she was born and she came into the world and, like, she's crying and stuff, it's just, it was such a relief. And then the entire time we're just asking questions like, what's wrong with her? And then her first hearing test that she had, she failed. We're like, oh, okay, well, this is the start. There's going to be something now. No, and she was struggling to regulate her temperature. So her first night she was in an incubator and stuff like that. We're like, fuck, all right, here we go. It's going to get better from now. Like there's going to be problems. People had to keep, there's nothing wrong. She's perfectly healthy. It's fine. Like just relax.
And then you could start to relax or?
No, because we're just waiting for it to come because the entire time in the lead up, because we lost one before it. Now we tried and we really wanted Drew so badly and it's all happening. And we're told the entire time, something's going to be wrong. Something's going to be wrong. So we're just expecting it. It's like, oh, fuck, here it is.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is going to be it. And then, like, but now she's absolutely perfect. She's a healthy little girl. She's a little character. She's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I didn't listen to people saying that. Well, it got to me at the time, but we went through with it. Imagine if we
aborted it. When do you reckon you could start to enjoy being a dad?
Oh, the second I looked at her, there was always the question there too, and I enjoyed every second of it. And look, even if there was something wrong with her, the love that you have for your child as soon as it comes into the world is unlike anything you've ever experienced before. It is the coolest thing you'll ever experience.
And that's the genuine consensus from all the dads that come in. They just think it's an amazing
experience. I just think of the pressures though, like just to listen to that story, mate, and I'd imagine such a triggering thing because of what you dealt with, and you're triggered from that experience. But then I'm also thinking about all the pressures you're under, but you mentioned you're also preparing for fights. Did you actually have to have fights in the middle of all of that? Did you have any competitive bouts in the middle of all those other pressures?
I was dealing with injuries and stuff too, and I had a few fall over. But Drew was a few months old when I had mine.
Wow.
So, yeah, well, I was preparing too.
Imagine the pressure, mate.
Thanks for opening up like that.
It's I do appreciate it, but I'm just imagining those protocols all at the same time as everything else you were dealing with would have been extraordinary.
Yeah, there's a bit of pressure, but just, I suppose, same as anything. Life throws stuff at you and you just deal with it. But it was a shitty experience. And next time, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, enjoy for sure. Now, did you have any time to do any birthing classes or anything in the lead up? Or you didn't even worry about that?
No, yeah, we did. Yeah? We did. Only thing I remember about was the gas. And I was the only person who had a go of the gas.
Yeah.
I know. Everyone was taking it really seriously. A lot of it was kind of common sense type stuff. Not that I was in there being an obnoxious fuckhead or anything. But the gas was good fun. And no one else touched it. And they're like...
Did you give it to Tegan or was it just you?
Just me. I was the only person in the class. And my goodness, that... The rush you get from that gas, as quickly as it hits you, it dissipates.
Yeah.
But if you get a crack of the gas...
So let me get this straight. You've done birthing class and all you've come out of it is you getting the gas.
Have a crack of the gas.
Beautiful.
A lot of it's common sense type stuff. I probably retained... I don't know. I get hit in the head for a living, like.
But you know how you said no one was there? The thing is, this is episode 9 of Dad Life with Foz. Yep. You're the first dad that's even gone to the class.
Oh, really?
Eight of them haven't.
Eight of them have not gone.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
It's a lot of it's common sense.
Yeah.
There we go.
Now, what should I be packing in a hospital bag to go to? Is there anything?
Mate, Teague's had that all sorted, mate. I was just worried about a protein bar and a shake on the way to the hospital. She had everything sorted, mate. My wife is Superwoman.
Yeah. Like,
and I'm...
I have met Teague. She's a legend.
I am... I mean, well, I'm probably just a piece of shit, I guess.
No, you're not.
I love it a bit, but I suppose that comes down to the selfishness of what being a fighter and professional athlete is. Like, look... Yeah, actually, that's made me think, like, what a piece of shit.
Nah.
Well, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you've had a chance to reflect.
Yeah. It's like a therapy session for you. We can take you back.
I'll do better the next time.
Now, on the day of the actual birth, was there anything that actually shocked you in that when Teague was giving birth?
No, nothing shocked me. Like, I don't know. It was a really surreal moment.
Yeah.
Very surreal moment. But, I don't know. You're just in the moment. It's happening and it's a cool experience. There's nothing. It's unlike anything you'll ever experience in your life. But there's nothing that really shocked me.
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't think anything much would shock you in the world.
I'm pretty chill.
Yeah.
Tegan calls me, I'm just a happy idiot.
Yeah. That does something. Well, now that first day back at home with Drew, how did that change your life? Was there anything you gave up that you had to give up?
No, not really.
You just continued.
Keeping on, keeping on. It's not like we're go out party type people anyway.
Yeah.
So like, just
unless you win a fight.
Yes. Or lose, drown the sorrows. Nah, look, everyone enjoys a good time, but no, we're past that in our lives. It's career and stuff driven and just not really much change. Like if anything, stuff changes for the better. When you're at that point in your life and you're ready for kids, and I think that also helps too. I don't know if you had any younger fathers on the
Yeah, we have. Cap, yep, yep.
But I think and I can't say because I'm not talking from experience, but I would imagine We've travelled a bit, we've done a lot, and it was time for us to have kids. And so everything changed for the better. And anyone who, like, one of my pet hates too is like, oh, say goodbye to sleep.
Yeah.
It's like, how about you shut the fuck up? Like, you miserable person. Like, it is, even now, like I've Drew's been a good sleeper. She's been a great kid. It's been good, and I think that comes down to how chill myself and Tegan have been the whole time too. Kids feed off that. So those sleepless nights, but and even now, even she's a little bit older, and she'll be crying for dad at night. She'll wake up,
yeah,
like your eyes will be hanging out of your head, and like just recently, I've been burning the candle at both ends, like up at 3 o'clock, a couple of hours of training, off to work a 10 to 12 hour day, and then training again at night, and then wow. The only thing that'll comfort her is dad. And my eyes are hanging out of my head. I'm like, oh, here we go. But then as soon as you're in there and you got her in your arms, it's yeah. just, I don't, you don't get to do that forever, man. Like no. One day she's going to be an adult.
Yeah.
And I actually had a fun, it was fucking hilarious. The other night, we'd never speak to her like this at all. She's calling for mum, but I was the one who woke up. So I go in there. She looks at me. She's like, get lost, dad. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I like start laughing. I'm like, what, you want me to get lost? Yeah. I want mum. I'm like, all right, well, I'll see you later then, all right? She's like, no, come back. I'm like, just the way she said it to me, like, that's just gold. That attitude and stuff, get lost. Like, it's so funny, man. And like, it's not forever. And you get to comfort your little baby. And even when they're newborns and they're up every couple of hours feeding and stuff, like,
Did you do a few feeds?
So Drew was bottle fed because breastfeeding just didn't work,
yeah.
Which happens. But yeah, so I did the feeds and it was cool, man. It's such a tiny little speck in the rest of your life, and it's something that you'll never ever get back again. So
awesome.
Just enjoy it, even when it's tough. Just that's how I feel. Like you don't get to do this forever, and you get to comfort your little baby girl or your little boy, or like it just, yeah, it's special, man.
Yeah, and you don't understand how hard boxes work, Lauren. Like, how's that?
That's amazing.
Feeding, training, working. You work as well.
Yeah, it'd been tough, mate. Like when COVID hit, I only just started to make a little bit of coin out of boxing. It's like, beauty, I threw money at the house.
Yeah.
COVID hits, all my sponsors, everything just dried up. I'm like, wow, I've got like $200 in the back.
Back on the concrete.
Back, you know, I had to put the gumboots back on, and yeah, it's been good. I love my trade, but now I'll be a full-time athlete again. Like yeah. it's tough, mate. It's really tough.
You'll get there. Now, out of 10, how would you rate your nappy changing, do you reckon?
My nappy changing yeah. or the experience itself?
No, like, how do you go at it? Good?
I think I was hands-on straight away.
Yeah.
Loved it.
And here's one. How do you juggle work, training, boxing, and being a dad?
Having an awesome wife.
Yeah. Good answer. Mate. Good answer.
100%, man. That's Tegan. Mm. And look, it is hard at times, but you just got to make do. And like the entire, just your mindset changes too. When you're a dad, it does not matter how tough shit gets. You're a dad now. It's not about you. You're providing for your kids. Like you're, everything you do is for them now. So it's as tough as it is, it's also easy because you're a dad. That's, you don't have a choice. You fucking get on with it.
Yeah. And now what's your motivation behind boxing? And does Teagues ever get worried about you in the boxing industry?
I think she's always known me as a fighter. I've been doing it since I could walk. So yeah, and I don't know. You've seen me fight. It's a different feeling when I fight. I'm not a thug. I'm more of a, actually, one of the fights you come to, Les would probably tell you I'm a thug. Yeah. But yeah, no, but I'm not. It's different. It's a different feeling, different atmosphere. I just bring something a little bit different to boxing, and yeah. So I just think that sort of comforts Tegan the way I am.
And for people that don't know Jade as a person, he's a guy. So for a radio show I was doing, we did a 40-kilometer run.
Yeah.
So we're doing 120 kilometers. He, without a shadow of a doubt, I asked him to get up at 2 a.m. to ride with me. With no hesitation, said yes. Got up and rode 40 kilometres with me in the morning.
Wow.
That's what he would do for you as a mate.
I'll add too. I was so incredibly hungover.
You were hungover. As well.
You might have gone right through.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think
did look a bit glary-eyed when I saw you.
Yeah, I was rough. I was rough, but we got it done.
And that's what that's the spirit I'm getting, is that you just get it done. And one of the things that I found interesting, in your advice, your sort of wisdom you're passing on to Foz, you're saying, you know, if you have problems with sleep deprivation or whatever, just remember it's a narrow window and just enjoy it. Same with your boxing though, mate, isn't it? I mean, you're not going to be boxing when you're 50. You're just not. Well, I guess Tyson's in pretty good shape, isn't he? But you're probably not.
I'm not going to be boxing.
Right. No. So, again, you're working very hard at the moment. I guess it's the same reminder with that, isn't it? It's just, this is a narrow window. I'm going to just go for it because it's not going to be forever.
That's definitely the way I look at boxing now. But, yeah, being a dad, man, it's the coolest thing ever. And when you've got, like, I'm so excited to have that. I get to have another baby again, like go through all that again. Like it's such a cool thing, man.
Now, how's Teagues as a mum? How would you say she's
super mum? And you want to see like Teagan as a mum is how her mum is too. Like her mum is amazing. Like Jan, the relationship that Teagan has with her mother is awesome. Like, and I love Teagan's mum. I absolutely love my mother-in-law. She's like something out of a nursery rhyme or something like that. She's awesome. And the relationship that Drew has with Teagan and her mother, the three of them together are amazing. Like whilst I had COVID, they didn't have it, so they isolated with their mum and like just no worries at all. Like, wow. Just get along so well.
How good's that?
Yeah,
because you get all this monster-in-law type stuff, yeah. And that's just not your life.
Nah. She's amazing.
Oh, that's nice. Now, Em and I are trying to plan a Bali trip for when our baby's 3 months old.
Yeah,
is that possible?
I don't see why not.
Or am I trying to bite off more than I can chew?
I don't see why not. No, why would you let it?
Well, that's what we're saying. Half the people have said, oh, you won't be able to do it. And I'm a person that says, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to go and do it, regardless of what happens.
They're probably the same miserable people who are like, yeah, say goodbye to sleep. Say goodbye to holidays and stuff. Shut the fuck up.
Sorry. Go for it, Foz.
I'm getting close.
Well, there you go.
Getting close to fighting again. I'm getting fired up.
You are getting fired up.
Change, starting to change.
That might be motivation. Someone should say, get that person to say goodbye to sleep, and yeah. It'll just fire him up.
I'm more worried about my opponent trying to put me to sleep.
Yeah.
That's motivation enough. I say give it a crack. Give it a crack. Do it.
Now, any advice you give to me as a new dad, just don't.
Mate, just enjoy it. Yeah. That's all I can say is enjoy it. Like, even when it's tough. Even when it's tough and you're feeling sorry for yourself,
yeah.
Don't. Like, you're a dad, man. That's your purpose in life now.
Yeah.
And enjoy every second of it, dude. It's honestly the coolest thing you'll ever do.
Ah, that's it. Now, and what's your go-to story when you're reading Drew a story? I could imagine you being a bit of a Snow White sort of a man.
Oh, look, she absolutely loves Bluey, but I improvise. Like, now she finds farts and stuff funny.
Oh,
so
here we go.
Everyone's farting on each other, and Teagan hates it. But I just
surely Frozen or something might be.
Oh no, she loves Frozen. We actually have to call her Elsa. I'm Daddy Kristoff.
Yeah,
because Kristoff, and I don't know.
Is he the evil guy?
No, he's the good fella. He's the hero.
Of course he is.
So him and Anna hook up. So Mum is Anna.
Okay.
So Andrew is Queen Elsa.
You have to dress up.
And our little dog Caesar, that's my no man. I love my no man. He's Olaf.
I'll tell you what, I mustn't admit, watching Jay box, I couldn't have pictured him reading Frozen. Yeah. So anyway.
You got the whole cast of characters in the house.
Oh mate, we do. So we have to refer to her as Queen Elsa.
Queen Elsa.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Now, good luck with your obviously your training, getting back.
Man, I just want to feel normal again. I'm just constantly wrecked. Like I've heard it happen to people, and I wasn't really worried about COVID at all. And I'm still not. Like the sickness itself was fine. Got through it okay.
Yep.
But it's the after effects, man. Like I am absolutely knackered. It's such a strange feeling. I feel vulnerable. I feel that drained.
Lots of zinc tablets.
Yeah, I've had a few vitamin infusions. Yeah. I've had a few other bits and pieces. We'll go get some bloods done tomorrow. We'll get on top of it. It'll pass. Like, plenty of people have had this, but I'm just whinging.
So. He's a very impressive boxer, Byron. Don't get on
your dad's I'm looking forward to seeing you get back into it and get these blood tests done and get on with it.
Yeah.
You can sense the slight impatience, which I understand.
Yeah. It's been 2 years, man.
He's ready to rock. I wouldn't want to be the bloke fighting
he's
him.
He's a bad man. I've seen a couple.
I would not want to be the bloke fighting him.
Put it this way, I haven't seen a loss, which is a positive. So now what we do is we get your partner to send us in something nice at the end of the episode about why you're a good dad. So Tegan's written this to me. Jade is the greatest dad for our little Drew. Balancing work, life, and training can be so draining, but at the moment he sees Drew, that all flies out the window, and whatever he does, she wants. Jade is Drew's real-life teddy bear. He lays in bed with her till she falls asleep every night. He crawls at her every milestone. He instills love, kindness, confidence, and boxing skills. It's a huge responsibility being the one to mould our daughter or child's character, beliefs and morals. So far, Jade is creating a little girl who will be, in the longest of times, will become a strong woman. I'm a big believer in great dads raising strong daughters. I was one. On a side note, I couldn't have chosen a better man to be my daughter's father. There you go.
That's really special. You're going to go make me cry now. Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah, I know. There
mate,
you
that's,
go.
That's serious. At all the milestones and stuff, man, I am such a softie when it comes to my girls. So
yeah.
That was special. Thanks, Dix.
Yeah, there you go. No worries. Well, thanks for coming in today.
Cheers, lads.
I hope you are.
I just had a thought in my head for us.
Okay, go for it.
Fast forward about like 16 or 18 years, and you're the poor bloke that's trying to date one of these. this first. Oh.
Well, my son might be with Drew.
take it out on Dad.
All right, Dave, good luck with the upcoming fights.
Thanks, fellas.